We do welcome you tonight in the Lord's name to the house of God. We trust the Lord's blessing will be upon us tonight as we meet together in his name. Could we just remind you again of the restrictions and you know about the social distancing while entering and exiting the building. While in the building, let's not drop our guard in regard to that. Offering baskets are as you leave at the exits. There's no building fund offering today that will be left over until the harvest. The Wednesday, the Bible study and prayer meeting at 8 p.m. Survey of the New Testament continued this week in the Acts of the Apostles. Do remember the prayer meeting, the most important meeting of the week. The doors will be open at approximately 10 to 8 for that meeting. All other church meetings and activities are kept under constant review. We hope to start the youth fellowship by Zoom on Friday the 17th of October at 8 p.m. All young people of that age, please do look out for the link so that you can link into that meeting. It doesn't compromise anyone who don't have to come back to the building, but you can join in with the service. Do please remember that. Next Lord's Day is our Harvest Sunday. We'll meet in the church in the morning. Reverend Nathan McVeigh is the preacher, and our sister Natasha will be singing. And then in the evening time here in the hall, Harvest Service, Reverend Julian Patterson from Ballymacgurney will be the speaker. Mrs. Vivian McCoy will be the soloist. Do please remember that normally we'd be having our Monday night harvest praise and supper, but with the restrictions, we cannot have this for this year. We'll not be having normal decoration of the church on Saturday prior to the harvest. Again, it's not practical to do that at this time. Thanks to Janet for looking after what decoration will be done for this year. Appreciate that very much indeed. If you want to put what you would normally put forward, flowers, fruit and vegetables, if you want to put that money into the offering, you can do that. If you feel that's what you want to do, please remember that. Could I mention also the church annual report is available, and if you want to pick up that report, you can do so as you leave the service tonight. There are other items of missionary literature may be available, and this again from last Lord's Day. Please remember those who are sick and those who have gone through various procedures, surgery, consultations, etc. in the past days. Our sympathy to our brother Jim Alexander and the loss of his sister-in-law in the past week. May the Lord be gracious to this family and comfort them in their time of sad loss and bereavement. A pair of spectacles were found outside. They may have been lying there for quite some time, so probably you have already visited wherever you go to get your new spectacles, but they are there outside. If you want to speak to James, he'll be able to help you with that. I think these are all the announcements that we have to make. Let's stand together for prayer, please. Gracious God and loving Father, we come to Thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Thank Thee, praise Thee, O God, for the opportunity of being in Your house tonight. And Lord, as we come tonight around Your Word, we pray for Your presence and Your help even in this service. We pray that Thou wilt speak to every heart, those who are here who are not saved. We pray that Thou wouldst lead them to Christ, that they may experience the grace and the salvation that is found alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the working of Thy Holy Spirit in these days. They are days of great challenge, but Lord, help us to look to the hills from whence doth come our help. Our safety cometh from the Lord, who heaven and earth hath made. We look to Thee, O God, for answers to prayer, even at this time. We pray that Thou wilt step in, Lord, to our situation. We pray, O God, that Thou wouldst revive Thy work. Where there is complacency among Your people, or coldness, or lethargy, or sitting at home watching the internet, we pray, O God, that Thou wilt stir hearts, even, Lord, to come to Your house, and to be, if it's possible, if they're not sick or not shielding, to be in the house of God. We commend, O God, the work of God to Thee in these days. We seek gradually to get various activities and of the work started up again. We pray for help and for guidance in all of these matters. And we pray that Thou wouldst lead us forward. And grant, Lord, that we might see times of blessing from the presence of God. Pray for all who are sick amongst us. Pray for healing. Thank you for Edwina getting home from hospital today. Pray for Thy hand upon her. Remember her healing process. for others that need thy touch in the congregation, who've gone through various procedures, that thou wilt be with them, that thou wilt bless them, and that thou wilt help them at this time. Father, remember our land and our nation in all its great need and its darkness and depravity. Pray that thou wouldst turn the hearts of men and women across this land to living, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Returning to sing the hymn 276. 276, it will come up before you tonight. 276, oh now I see the cleansing wave, the fountain deep and wide. Jesus, my Lord, mighty to save, points to his wounded side. Remaining seated as we sing. Together from the book of John's Gospel, in John's Gospel chapter 5, and reading together from the opening verse of this scripture. The fifth chapter of John's Gospel, and reading together from the opening verse. After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. There is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down in a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, steppeth in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Turning to hymn number 265, again remaining seated, and we will stand at the end of this hymn for the prayer, please. 265, just remaining seated for the singing. Father, we take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill us to the uttermost. I take, he undertakes for me. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the portion of Scripture we have read from this evening. The 5th chapter of John's Gospel and the first 9 verses. John chapter 5 and verses 1 to 9. As we read through the Gospels, we are struck by the interest that the Lord Jesus Christ shows in ordinary people. Those like you and me. People in need of His help, in need of His intervention in their situation of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ did not look away from people. He did not pass them by on the other side, as the priest and the Levite did in the Gospels. But rather He was like the Good Samaritan. He was ready to stop and hear the cries of the needy, and to reach out to those who were in their desperate need. And so in the gospel ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in His ministry upon the scene of time, we see how He was ready to meet the need of people. He was concerned about people. The burden of His heart was toward the multitudes, toward the individuals. The compassion that Christ showed continually toward those in every circumstance of life, His care toward the needy. No matter what that need was, is demonstrated again and again in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether in the private place or in the public place, He was willing and He was able to help. In the first 2 miracles that have been brought before us in John's Gospel, in chapter 2, that one of turning the water into wine, in chapter 4 of the healing of the nobleman's son, we discover the Lord Jesus Christ in the private place. Miracles done in private. But here we discover in chapter 5, His power is demonstrated in the public place, here at the pool of Bethesda. And His power is the same no matter where He is. No matter what His situation may be, no matter what may be the challenge. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And let me tell you tonight, His power is not diminished. The power of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how great may be that challenge, His intervention is always powerful and is guaranteed to produce a mighty change wherever it is demonstrated. Whether it be in the sea in the midst of the storm, whether it be raising the dead, whether it be delivering those controlled by demons or healing those affected with disease or infirmity. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to deliver. And here at the pool of Bethesda, we see the Lord's power in the case of this man who had been stricken with this infirmity for 38 years. As we look at what happened in the case of this man and his deliverance from this dreadful affliction, we have a picture of how the Lord can work the miracle of His grace in your life tonight. And the Lord can transform you completely. And so we look at these verses in the context here in John chapter 5 verses 1 to 9. The man healed at the pool of Bethesda. I want you to notice first of all the place where he was. The place where he was in verses 1 and 2 reveal that to us. He was at Jerusalem. There was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. The location of this miracle was the sheep market, or, as is more likely, the sheep gate, situated near the northeast corner of the old city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 3 and Nehemiah chapter 12 both mention the sheep gate. In chapter 3, there are 10 gates that are mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 3. The first of those gates is the sheep gate. And through the gate, this particular gate, the sacrificial offerings were brought to the temple. The sheep were brought, the lambs were brought. And there, of course, they were brought to the sacrifice. It points to the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us of the cross. It points to the sacrificial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And no doubt John saw here some spiritual significance in this location. For he had already told his readers that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Here is the pool called Bethesda. It means house of mercy. And here was a place where large numbers of sick people congregated. It was obviously a place of desperate need. But it was also a place where people could experience the mercy of God. They could behold the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. In this world tonight, there is a great multitude. A great multitude of people in need of the Lord's intervention in their lives. But thank God there is a place of mercy. There's a place of mercy for you tonight. Without there being such a place, souls would be forever lost. They would be shut up to helplessness and hopelessness forever. But God's mercy is a wonderful thing tonight. It is an astounding thing. It is a marvelous thing. Here in the midst of this darkness, the light can shine. Here in the midst of this bondage, there is liberty. Here in the midst of death, there is life. Healing for those who are afflicted with dreadful disease and infirmity. It is the Lamb of God alone that can display and demonstrate this mercy. It is only by His wonderful intervention that such a difference can be made in the lives of many. In your life tonight, if you're not saved in this service. You may have come to this service aware of your need, hoping that somehow, in some way, there might be a change tonight. You might have come to the right place. My friend, there is mercy available for you tonight. There is mercy for you in the midst of your desperate need. And it is found with the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him you need tonight. The Lord Jesus is a place of mercy. But five in Scripture speaks of grace. There were five porches here. And my friend, here's a picture of God's grace. God's grace was here, even in this place. God would show His grace here, and He did. And the sinner stands in need of His grace, His free, undeserved, unmerited favor. That where sin abounds in your life tonight, the grace of God might much more abound. The Bible says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. God's wonderful grace is available to every sinner, to every man, woman, boy or girl, who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in the Old Testament there in the book of Genesis when Joseph desired to show special favor to his youngest brother Benjamin. We read in Genesis chapter 43, verse 44, he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was five times as much as any of theirs. He was showing him favor. He was showing grace toward Benjamin. And again, the Bible tells us in Genesis 45, 22, to all of them he gave each man changes of raiment. That's to all his brethren. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and five changes of raiment. And again, grace was being displayed toward Benjamin.
5 and its multiples are stamped in every part of the tabernacle that is mentioned in the Old Testament. Grace is there. It was with 5 loaves that the Lord Jesus Christ fed the hungry multitudes. The 5th clause in the Lord's Prayer is, "Give us this day our daily bread." The 5th commandment was the only one with the promise attached. "Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee." And so we might go on to mention the various aspects of grace that are mentioned in Scripture. We have 5 porches here at this pool of Bethesda, the place of mercy. But the place of grace available through Christ and only through Him. And oh, that His mercy and His grace might be your experience tonight. What a place it was. The place where He was. I want you to see, secondly, the people who were there. Look at verse 3. "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water." Here we have many people here, a multitude. A great multitude. A picture of mankind. Those who were suffering, we discover there were impotent people here. People without strength, invalid people. People who were blind, who were in darkness without the light. People who were halt, who were lame, who were disabled. Withered. See their helplessness. They were brought, they lay in this place, near this pool of Bethesda. They were left there, lying at the gates, as it were, of a dead religion. So to speak, hoping against hope, bolstering, flagging beliefs that a priest might pass by or someone might help them in their desperate need. Longing for some kind of miracle. Perhaps fearful lest their religion prove powerless to meet their greatest need. Oh, what havoc, my friend, sin has brought into this world tonight. But the healing of these infirmities was one of that which was prophesied concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, in the Old Testament, verses 3 to 6. Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 3 to 6. The Word of God teaches us there. "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that have fearful heart, be strong. Fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with a recompense, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind listen, shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert." It's a prophecy concerning the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And had the religious leaders of that time known their own scriptures, they would have recognized their Redeemer. But they were spiritually blind. Blind leaders of the blind. Here were a people who had the law, but they were impotent, making their boast in the law, but unable to keep it. They were blind to their own impotency, blind to their own wretchedness, blind to their own desperate need, blind to the one who was able to help them, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you not blinded tonight? Oh, you have religion, you have respect for the Bible, you have the Word of God, and yet you are blind to the truth of the gospel as it is found in Christ. These people saw in Him, that is in the Lord Jesus, no beauty that they should desire. They were impotent, they were blind, but they were halt. They were lame, they were crippled. They had the law, but they were unable to walk in the way of God's commandments. They were withered, refers to those whose hands were paralyzed. The Bible tells us they were waiting for the promised Messiah, and all the time ignorant of the fact that He was there right in their midst. He was there before them.
the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is here tonight. The Lord is here tonight. The Lord is here to help you tonight. The Lord is here to aid you tonight. The Lord is here tonight to save your soul. And here in this passage of God's Word, with this great multitude of people, is a picture of human depravity, of fallen man, Adam's fallen race. The natural man is impotent without strength, the Bible says in Romans 5 verse 6. It sums up in a single word his condition before God, utterly helpless. Man cannot save himself. You cannot save yourself tonight. You cannot do a single thing to save yourself. You're utterly helpless. You're impotent. They were blind. Blind indeed is the natural man. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You're in darkness tonight. The darkness of your sin. Halt, unable to walk. How inevitably this follows the other. Impotency. Blindness. The fact that they were halt. How can one who is spiritually blind find the narrow way that leadeth to life? The Bible tells us in the book of Lamentations 3 and verse 51, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Out of the heart, says Proverbs 4:23, are the issues of life. If the eye be evil, the whole body is full of darkness. Luke 11:34, my friend, you're in darkness tonight. You're unable to walk in the way of life. Withered, blind eyes, crippled feet, paralyzed hands, unable to see, unable to walk, unable to work. How striking is the order here. A man cannot perform good works unless he is walking with God. He will not begin to walk with God unless his eyes have been opened to see his need of Christ. Oh, that your eyes might be opened tonight. This is the divine order of things, friend. It never varies. First, the eyes must be opened. Then, an illuminated understanding prepares us to walk worthy of that vocation wherewith we are called. And then, that in turn equips us for acceptable service for God. The multitude in their desperate need. That's the multitude in this world tonight. As we look out in society, as we look out in this world tonight, that's how people are. That's how it is with men and women and young people. But notice the man here. Not only the multitude, the man. Amongst this multitude of people, there was a man. He's particularly mentioned here. Look at verse 5. And a certain man was there, which had infirmity 38 years. He'd been there for a very long time, 38 years, half a lifetime, we might say. It might be he'd been brought there in his teens and left there to make the best of things. So you would say somebody had just dumped him there. We can imagine, I hope, deferred had made his heart sick. How his expectations during his first months at the pool had given way to despair. And then it seemed as if there was like a dull acceptance of his fate. And one by one, with the passing of years, his friends had left him. Now he's abandoned, heavenly, paralyzed. It seems there's no hope for this man. He's unable to move. He's become a fixture here at the pool of Bethesda. Days have come and went, and days have become months, and months have become years, and others stronger and more agile than he have got up and walked and moved away. Or even when the waters were troubled. And yet he clung to his pathetic belief in the miraculous healing power of this pool. But it was not for him. As for the thought that some priest or prophet might come his way, might offer help to him at the pool. Well, he knew enough about organized religion to understand that was not forthcoming. There was nothing in its rituals. Its attendants, ministers, and devotees offered no aid to this man. Nothing seemed to be going for him.
no one seemed to help him. How can we measure the misery of this man here at the pool of Bethesda? He had no friends, it seems, no family. His companions were life's victims. Blind people, lame people, withered people, inside and out. And all their hopes had shrunk. And there he was, left to himself in his misery and despair. Others had been jockeying for position to get into the pool, obsessed about their own physical position. Their pathetic hope of healing, the sight and the stench of it all must have been depressing. This man is left there. And here was institutionalized misery, unending poverty, because this man could not work. Cynicism, no doubt, had taken root in his mind. He'd almost given up hope. He would watch the new arrivals come and go. He would see how others pushed him back. He had no strength left. What a sense of hopelessness filled the heart of this man. And maybe that's where you're at tonight. You think, well, how can I ever be saved? I've sat all these years. I've listened to all of these sermons. I've heard of all of these testimonies of what God has done in the past. I've looked and seen others that have come and gone. But I'm left in my hopelessness. But something happened, my friend. Something wonderful happened. And something wonderful can happen for you tonight. I want you to see the person who came, because the Lord Jesus Christ came here. And let me introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, while we had the multitude and the man, we have the Master here. Had this man heard of Jesus? Had news of the one who was the healer from Nazareth filtered through into this enclave of misery? Surely so. But if this Jesus was that great healer, why didn't he come here and heal them all? And one day Jesus came. The Master saw him, the Bible says. The Lord Jesus Christ saw him lie. Look at verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie. My dear friend, tonight, no matter who you are, the Lord Jesus Christ has time for you tonight. Oh, the world may pass by. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as he did in other occasions in the gospel, he stands still. He's interested in you tonight as an individual, in your situation, in your needs. He knew all about this man, for he knoweth all things, man. He knew how long he'd been there. He did not need to ask. Just as he knew all about Nathanael, all about the woman in the well mentioned there in John chapters 1 and chapter 4. This man's heart and his character and history were an open book as far as the Lord was concerned. The Master saw him. And he sees you tonight. You remember that one who had fled into the wilderness. And she fled there in the book of Genesis. And the Bible tells us those words, "Thou God seest me." God sees you tonight. Just as he saw Hagar in the wilderness, so he sees you tonight. And Jesus spoke to this man. He not only saw this man, the Master saw him, but the Master spoke to him. And Jesus put a vital question to him there in verse 6. Wilt thou be made whole? It might well have been that this man, having been so long time in that situation, he had come to terms with it. He was no longer wanted to return to the challenge of normal life. It is so with many that they become content as they are. They don't want to change. Just leave things as they are. This man's answer in verse 7 clearly indicates that the delay in his healing was no fault of his. Look at verse 7. The impotent man answered him, "That's the Lord Jesus, sir. I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me."
He had given up hope of being first into the pool. But if someone was to help him, that hope would soon revive. It was lack of opportunity, not lack of will, that kept him where he was. And there are many in desperate need of salvation tonight who nonetheless are content to remain in their sin. So the question is to you tonight, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? But the Lord had the answer to this man's need, friend. And He is the answer to your need tonight. Christ is the answer to our every need. Look at verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. This man's bed was a light mattress or cotton quilt which could easily be rolled up and carried away. And the Lord spoke directly to this man with divine authority. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. He spoke to him not only with divine authority, but He spoke to him with enabling power. It never occurred to him to disobey. What seemed to be an impossible command, and yet it never occurred to him to disobey. Faith surged into the soul of this man. Ability to respond flooded into his paralyzed body. My friend, the Master saw him. The Master spoke to him. The Master stepped into his life. Stepped into his situation. And my friend, tonight, in this meeting, the Lord can step into your situation tonight. Long have you rejected His mercy. Long have you spurned His grace. Long have you turned your back upon Him. But He's here tonight. He's willing. He's waiting to help you. He wants to help you. He did what he was told. He obeyed the Savior immediately. He was made whole. He took up his bed and walked. The word for walk here used in this verse literally means to walk about. He was delivered in a moment of time, and he began to walk about carrying his bed. You see, my friend, we not only have the multitude here, and we have the man, and we have the Master, but we have the miracle. The miracle. The miracle. He walked about. What a change. A marvelous transformation had taken place. It was clear for all to see that this man was delivered from his awful paralysis. And when the Lord steps into the situation of one's life, He makes a difference. He can step into your situation tonight and make the difference, transforming your life by His mighty power. Look already how He changed the situation when He was invited to that wedding at Cana. We knew that a few weeks ago in John chapter 2. How He changed the situation when He was invited to that wedding. How He changed the nobleman's son by speaking the word in John chapter 4. And the boy was healed. And what He did for others, He'd do for this man. And He did it. Immediately, the Bible says, in a moment of time. Immediately the man was made whole, verse 9, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. Salvation is an immediate thing, friend. You don't grow into it. Over a period of time, it happens in a moment of time. And many of us in this meeting tonight have experienced God's salvation immediately. And with God, nothing can be impossible. God can do the work in your heart tonight. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about water in John's Gospel. It's an interesting study. Water in John's Gospel. Chapter after chapter is occupied with it. Pots of water, a well of water, pools of water, a lake of water, rivers of water. Chapter 2, chapter 4, chapter 5 here, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 9, chapter 13. So we can go through the Gospel. And John tells us how Jesus transformed the water, how He drank of the water, how He walked on the water. The disciples baptized in water. The Lord applied spiritual lessons from the water. But here in chapter 5, listen, He dispensed with the need for water. He dispensed with the need for water. Why? The sick folks gathered at the pool of Bethesda were looking to the water instead of looking to the Lord who had provided it. And how sad that men should be occupied with the creature rather than the Creator. And the Lord took the poor impotent man's case in hand. It was not surprising. He healed him without any reference to the water. There was not one reference to the water in the healing of this man. This man who had been an invalid for all of these years. Even before Christ was born in Bethlehem, he'd been an invalid. But in an instant, the Lord loosed him from this long-standing illness and made him fully whole. This wasn't a water cure, my friend. This was a wonder cure. This was the wonder-working power of the Lord Jesus Christ, genuinely, miraculously wrought by the divine healer, the great physician himself. My dear man, my dear lady tonight, dear person in this meeting tonight, make sure, dear soul right now, that you go straight to the Lord for deliverance. He alone is the one that can deliver you. He alone is the one that can save you. He alone is the one who can meet you at the point of your need. For He is greater than our greatest need. The miracle, the pool of Bethesda. May God work a miracle in your heart tonight. And in your life, that you go out from this meeting changed, delivered, saved by the matchless grace of God. God can do it tonight. Will you let Him do it? May God work that miracle for Jesus' sake. We're turning to the hymn number 273. It'll be on the screen and we'll keep our seats and then we'll stand for the closing prayer after we sing this hymn. 273, you may have your own hymn book, of course, but we're not using hymn books at the moment. But you may have a copy of your own, that's okay. But if you want, you can look at the screen and follow the words as Robert plays and sing together as we remain seated. God has spoken to you tonight. You realize your need of God's mercy and God's salvation. You're not saved. If God has so spoken to you tonight, please, as you leave the meeting, do speak to us. Or have it open God's word and point you to the one who can meet your need. Don't leave without the Lord tonight. Come to Christ. Be saved. Father in heaven, we pray that by the Holy Spirit, I will apply the word to the hearts and to the consciences of men and women, young people. We pray that, O God, thou wilt speak tonight and draw souls to the cross to know the healing power that the Savior alone can give. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Just be seated, please. Thank you for coming, and do please just wait, and the brethren will indicate to you when it's safe for you to go out at a safe distance from each other tonight. Thank you for coming again.